All right, so today we're diving into a case that really hits home for us, dealing with the criminal justice system.
That's a tough one.
It is. This is the story of Nicole Lenway.
Right.
A Minneapolis crime scene investigator.
Yeah.
Whose life took, well, a really terrifying turn.
It did.
When she became the target of, get this, a murder plot. Orchestrated by her ex-boyfriend. So we're gonna unpack all of that.
Yeah.
The events leading up to it, the investigation, the court proceedings. We're gonna try to understand how this all unfolded.
And I think it's really gonna highlight the complexities of domestic abuse.
Oh, absolutely.
And the devastating consequences that it can have.
Yeah, and what's crazy about this case is this isn't just about like a single incident, right? This is years of harassment that just kept escalating and escalating until it finally culminated in this terrifying event.
Mm.
So to really understand how it gets to that point, I think we have to rewind a bit. Back to 2012, when Nikki first met this guy, Tim Amaker, at, of all places, a taekwondo studio.
Okay, so it sounds like are we talking about like kind of a cliche, you know, the charismatic instructor sweeping the new student off her feet?
It does, doesn't it? And that's exactly how it seemed in the beginning.
Yeah. You know,
it was like this whirlwind romance. And within a year, Nikki and Tim were living together.
Okay.
But even then, looking back, there were red flags.
Like what?
Well, for one, this guy Tim, he had this reputation
as a
womanizer.
Okay.
I mean, there's even an anecdote from one of his neighbors who described this whole purple porch light system he had going on.
A purple porch light system? What do you mean?
Yeah, like to signal when it was, and I quote, ladies' night at his house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, I mean, that's not exactly subtle.
No, it's not. That's, I mean, that kind of detail, even on its own,
right,
speaks volumes about his character.
Exactly.
Like, and how he viewed women. It's not just like harmless flirting. It points to a pattern, doesn't it?
A pattern of objectification.
Yeah.
And a lack of respect.
Right.
And sadly, those red flags, they turned into something much darker before too long.
Okay.
Nikki has talked about how Tim was constantly flirting with other women.
Right.
He was insanely jealous all the time.
Yeah.
And he had this need to control her every move.
Which are classic signs of an abuser, really. Setting the stage for manipulation and control.
It's scary how subtly it can start.
It is.
It makes it hard to recognize the danger.
Absolutely.
And in this case, it went way beyond just words. Nikki actually described an incident where Tim, in a fit of rage, grabbed her by the neck.
Oh my gosh.
And slammed her against the wall.
Wow.
This wasn't just a toxic relationship anymore.
Right.
This was dangerous.
It's a stark reminder, really, of how abusers use violence and intimidation.
Right.
To maintain their power and control over their partners.
It's awful because victims often find themselves trapped, you know.
Of course.
Struggling with fear, emotional dependence.
Yeah.
Hoping that things will magically get better.
Right, right.
And I think that makes Nikki's decision to leave Tim in 2015 all the more courageous.
It does.
But, and this is a big but, that wasn't the end of it.
Mm.
In fact, that's when another layer was added to all of this. Nikki found out that she was pregnant.
Wow. I can't imagine the emotional turmoil.
Right.
Going through an unplanned pregnancy is difficult enough.
Oh, absolutely.
But to do it while trying to escape an abusive relationship.
It's another level. It's just
fear. Yeah.
Especially with how Tim reacted to the news.
How did he take it?
Well, instead of being supportive.
Yeah.
He pressured her to have an abortion.
Oh, wow.
Which, thankfully, she refused to do.
Good for her.
That decision to choose motherhood.
Yeah.
Under those circumstances.
Yeah.
That says a lot about her.
Absolutely.
Her strength and resilience.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she really carried that strength with her as she navigated being a single parent.
Yeah.
Callahan was born in 2016.
Okay.
And even though by this point she had cut ties with Tim.
Right.
She still had this hope.
Yeah.
That maybe they could figure out a healthy co-parenting relationship. You know, for Callahan's sake.
Of course. I mean, that's a common thread for a lot of parents in these situations, isn't it?
It is.
You know, they want their child to have a relationship with their other parent.
Yeah.
And there's always that hope that things will be different.
Right, right.
Than they were before.
Which, knowing what we know now about Tim.
Yeah.
Seems, well, incredibly optimistic at best.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it was during this time that another key figure entered the picture.
Okay, who's that?
A woman named Colleen Larson.
Colleen Larson.
Who was, at the time, Tim's roommate.
Okay.
But she eventually becomes his girlfriend.
Okay.
And gets involved in helping care for Callahan.
Okay. So on the surface, Someone hearing this might think, oh, this is great. Tim's stepping up, showing an interest in fatherhood.
Right, it seems like it.
Yeah.
But knowing his history,
yeah,
you can't help but wonder, were his motives really that pure?
Right, exactly. Was this genuine concern for his son, or was it something else?
Yeah. Was he already starting to kind of weave this web of manipulation?
Right.
Using Colleen to try and control Nikki and Callahan from a distance?
It's like watching those pieces of a puzzle slowly start to fit together.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have the full picture yet.
Exactly. So last we left off, Nikki's trying to navigate this whole co-parenting thing with Tim.
Right.
And then, as if things weren't complicated enough already, she meets this guy, Donovan Ford.
Okay.
Who, he was also an officer with the Minneapolis PD.
Okay, so they're colleagues.
Exactly. And by all accounts, Donovan was, well, everything Tim wasn't.
Okay, what do you mean?
He was kind, supportive.
Right.
Genuinely loved Nikki and Callahan. He, like, represented a real fresh start for her.
Yeah, a chance for real happiness.
Exactly. But, and this is a big but, that kind of happiness, it was like a red flag to a bull for someone like Tim.
Oh, I bet.
It's almost like Donovan being there just, like, brought all those insecurities and possessiveness in Tim roaring to the surface.
Right, because suddenly it's real.
Exactly. It wasn't just theoretical anymore.
Yeah. And all those red flags we talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
They get amplified, like, tenfold.
Oh, absolutely.
Suddenly, Tim, who couldn't be bothered to even show up for his son consistently,
right,
is threatened by this new man in Callahan's life.
Yeah, the irony is kind of sickening, isn't it?
It really is.
And it went way beyond just some jealous feelings.
What happened?
Tim goes on this 5-year campaign of just relentless harassment.
5 years against both of them.
Both of them. Nikki and Donovan.
Wow. What did that look like?
I mean, we're not talking about a few angry texts here. This guy was relentless. He weaponized everything he could think of to try and hurt them.
Like what? Give me some specifics.
Okay, so for starters, he bombarded Child Protective Services with all these false reports.
Oh, no.
Claiming that Nikki and Donovan were, get this, physically and sexually abusing Callahan.
Oh, my God. That's horrific.
It's just, it's awful. To use your own child like that.
It's unconscionable. But it's also, unfortunately, a common tactic.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Abusers will often make those kinds of accusations.
To try and discredit the victim.
Exactly.
It's just, it's beyond cruel.
And incredibly damaging. Imagine being falsely accused of something that horrific.
Knowing that even if you're cleared, that suspicion can linger.
Exactly. It's a form of emotional abuse that can have really lasting consequences.
Absolutely. And as if that wasn't bad enough, he goes after Donovan professionally, too.
Oh, no.
Files all these complaints with his superiors at the police department.
Trying to get him in trouble at work.
Exactly. Trying to paint him as this danger to society.
Yeah.
Just a total smear campaign.
Classic abuser tactic, right?
Yeah.
Isolate the victim, turn others against them.
It's terrifying how often it works.
It is. But thankfully, in this case, none of those accusations against Nikki and Donovan held any water.
Right. I mean, CPS, to their credit, investigated every single claim thoroughly.
Good.
And found absolutely no evidence.
Of course.
But the fact that he was able to weaponize these systems so easily.
It's disturbing. It really highlights those flaws that exist, you know.
Absolutely. And it makes you think about how many people out there might be going through something similar.
Right. And how important it is to have those support systems in place.
100%. And through all of this, it's a testament to Nikki and Donovan's strength, honestly, that they were able to weather that storm.
Yeah, it sounds like they had each other's backs.
They did. But Tim, well, he wasn't done.
What did he do next?
He decides to escalate things even further.
How so?
By filing for custody of Callahan.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, given his previous track record of being a father.
Yeah, not exactly stellar.
It seemed pretty obvious that this was just a power play.
Right, to try and regain control over Nikki.
Exactly. And at this point, Nikki starts to get really afraid.
I can only imagine.
She knew what Tim was capable of, so she filed for a restraining order against him.
Good. She recognized the danger.
Right, which is huge.
It is. So many victims, they don't want to take that step.
For lots of reasons, yeah.
But it's so important.
It is. But unfortunately, the system, it doesn't always move as quickly as we'd hope.
That's true. So what happened while the restraining order was pending?
Well, Tim, he doesn't let up.
Of course not.
He continues this whole campaign of manipulation.
Like what?
This is unbelievable. But he files a police report.
Okay.
Claiming that Nikki ran over his foot with her car.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. He actually presses charges for domestic assault.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Right. Another classic abuser tactic.
Trying to discredit her, make her look unstable.
Exactly.
So what happened with the assault charges?
Well, in this instance, thankfully, justice kind of prevailed.
Okay.
The jury saw right through Tim's act, and they found Nikki not guilty on all charges, like within minutes.
Wow, they didn't even need to deliberate. That's amazing.
It was a small victory, but a victory nonetheless.
Absolutely.
But anyway, back to this whole custody battle.
Oh,
so,
wow.
In the fall of 2020, after this whole long, drawn-out process, the judge finally makes a decision.
Okay, and?
Awards sole custody of Callahan to Nikki.
That's great news.
It was. Tim was granted one supervised visit per week.
Okay, that seems fair.
Yeah. You'd think at this point, things might finally calm down a bit, but...
But no, of course not.
Nope, not even close.
What happened?
Tim was not done trying to control the narrative.
In what way?
During one of his supervised visits, he got caught coaching Callahan, who was 5 years old at the time.
Oh, no. Coaching him to do what?
To lie to a social worker.
What? Seriously?
Telling Callahan to say that Donovan was abusing him.
You've got to be kidding. That poor kid.
I know. It's just heartbreaking.
It really is. To put that kind of pressure on a five-year-old.
I know. Thankfully, Callahan was able to tell the social worker exactly what his dad had told him to do.
Wow. That's amazing.
It really is. Shows a remarkable amount of strength for a child that young.
It really does. But it also just shows how manipulative Tim could be.
Totally. And because of that incident, Tim lost even those limited visitation rights.
Wow. So no more visits at all.
Not quite. From then on, any interaction he had with Callahan had to be supervised at a facility called FamilyWise.
FamilyWise? What's that?
So FamilyWise, they're an organization that basically provides these safe, neutral environments.
Okay.
For supervised visits and exchanges, specifically in high conflict custody cases.
Oh, I see. So they have like strict protocols and stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally. They have separate entrances, separate parking lots for each parent, just to minimize any chance of conflict.
That makes sense. Keep everyone separated.
Exactly. Which makes what happens next even more shocking. Mm. So Tim's visits with Callahan, they're all happening at FamilyWise now.
Right. This place specifically designed for these kinds of situations.
Exactly. With all these safety measures in place.
But as we know, it doesn't always matter, does it?
Sadly, no. It doesn't.
Someone driven by obsession, that need for control, they can find ways, can't they?
It's terrifying, but true. And in this case, that manipulation, well, it took a very dark turn on April 20th, 2022.
That's the day of the shooting, right?
It is. So picture this. It's around 7:30 p.m. Nikki's pulling into the FamilyWise parking lot, totally unaware that she's walking into a nightmare.
A nightmare orchestrated by the very person those safety measures were there to protect her from.
Exactly. And while Tim's inside FamilyWise for his visit with Callahan, someone dressed in black, head to toe, ambushes Nikki in that parking lot. Two shots ring out.
Oh my gosh.
One bullet hits her in the neck, the other one hits her in the arm.
It's hard to even imagine the terror.
It's unimaginable. But somehow, in that chaos, amidst the pain, Nikki, she finds this incredible strength to survive.
She doesn't panic.
No. Despite being shot in the neck, which we later learn actually damaged her vocal cords, she manages to get her phone out and dial 911.
Oh my God. Her resilience is amazing.
It really is. She's determined to fight for her life against all odds. And thankfully, a woman named Emily Clancy sees what's happening.
Emily Clancy, this is the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, she was driving by when the attack happened. She immediately calls 911 and rushes over to help Nikki, uses her own clothes, tries to apply pressure to the wounds, control the bleeding.
Wow. If it wasn't for Emily, who knows what might have happened.
She undoubtedly played a crucial role in saving Nikki's life.
Mm-hmm.
But even with her help, it was a critical situation. Nikki had a perforated lung, those vocal cord injuries we talked about, and that bullet that hit her neck.
Yeah.
Terrifyingly close to a major artery.
Oh my gosh. So scary.
It really is a reminder of just how fragile life is.
It is.
So while doctors are working tirelessly to save Nikki, investigators are at the scene trying to piece together what happened in that parking lot.
Right.
They found three spent bullet casings, a blood trail that led to Emily's car, but no signs of a struggle, no robbery, nothing to suggest this was random at all.
So they're thinking, what? Targeted attack?
Exactly. And remember Kim's whole story about Nikki having a stalker?
Right, right.
That was something investigators looked into as well.
Of course.
They had to consider all angles.
So what happened next?
Well, the next morning, Nikki regains consciousness.
Thank goodness.
Right. And she's able to talk with investigators. And she is adamant that Tim is behind all of it.
Wow. Despite his alibi.
Despite the seemingly perfect alibi.
But she didn't buy it.
Not for a second. And you know what? She was right.
Of course she was. She knew him better than anyone.
Exactly. And as they dig deeper, it becomes chillingly clear that Nikki's instincts were spot on. Remember how Tim insisted he only had those two cars?
The Jeep and the Challenger?
Yeah. Well, that becomes a key detail because surveillance footage from Family Wise and a nearby bank, it captures the getaway vehicle.
Okay. And what was it?
A black Dodge Ram truck with no plates, driven by someone they couldn't identify at the time.
Busted by his own lie.
Right. But of course, Tim had an explanation ready to go.
What did he say?
Claimed he did own a Dodge Ram, but it couldn't be his because his had Superman decals and a license plate.
Please! As if those things can't be easily removed.
Right. So transparent.
Yeah.
But the investigators, they weren't buying it. They bring in an FBI tech specialist.
Okay, to look at what?
The truck had built-in Wi-Fi.
Ah, I see where this is going.
And that Wi-Fi, just like a cell phone,
it can be tracked. And where was his truck on the night of the shooting?
Right outside Family Wise.
Yeah.
At the exact time of the attack, the digital fingerprints don't lie.
Nope, they sure don't.
So both Tim and Colleen, they're arrested for attempted murder.
What about Colleen? What was her role in all of this?
Well, once Tim and Colleen are separated, that's when things really start to unravel.
What do you mean?
Colleen, she confesses.
To what?
To everything. Explains how Tim manipulated her into believing that hurting Nikki was the only way to protect Callahan.
Wow. Classic coercive control. Distorting reality, making her think she's doing the right thing.
It's chilling.
It really is. So what happened at the trial?
The trial? It was incredibly difficult for Nikki. I mean, she had to relive that trauma, face the man who tried to have her killed.
I can't even imagine.
And to make matters worse, during his sentencing, Tim, he remained defiant, showed zero remorse.
Of course he did.
Even tried to paint himself as the victim.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable.
The jury saw right through it, though.
Good.
Tim was found guilty on all charges.
And
sentenced to 18 years in prison.
18 years? What about Colleen?
Colleen, she cooperated with the authorities, expressed remorse for her actions, so she received a lighter sentence.
That seems fair. Still, it's a bittersweet victory, isn't it?
It really is. Justice was served, but the scars, both physical and emotional, they'll always be there.
Absolutely.
But you know what? Despite everything, Nikki has shown incredible strength.
How's she doing now?
She's made a remarkable physical recovery, which is amazing in itself.
That's great news.
And she found love again with Donovan.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They're actually married now.
Wow, I love that for her.
And they're expecting a baby girl.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a testament to the resilience of the human spirit.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you, even after enduring such a traumatic experience, there's always hope for a brighter future.
Absolutely. What a powerful story.
It really is.